What about getting that chair right there and set it right there? We got one chair tonight, not five. Good to be back. God, help us tonight. Oh, I want to tell you, God's so good to you. God's good to meet with us tonight. He's so good to meet with us tonight. Just, hey, listen, that's why I just praise Him. I just praise Him and just keep on praising Him and thanking Him. Thanking Him for the glory of God and the work of God and all that He's done for us. And I bless His holy name. And I praise Him tonight. Amen. Amen. What's your name, sir? Who? James Harlan. Danny? That's a good name. I just wanted to see who you was. Yeah. You look like a pretty good feller. I want this boy to stand back up here. Would you stand up, son? Would you stand up? It's okay. I'm not going to say, you don't have to say a word. Just stand right there. Look here. I want to apologize to you. I'm sorry. Last night, I was talking to Miss Connie over here, and he came over, and he had just gotten saved now that I find all this out, and he was wanting to tell us. And listen, I deal with kids all the time. I'm raising three grandkids. I'm 71 years old. So to me, kids is like, go on over there and sit down. Be over here. And sometimes I don't thank him. Plus, you know, when you're busy. But I want to tell you something, Bubby. I'm sorry, okay? I didn't let you tell us. I know you wanted to. And I know you did. But I'm sorry I didn't let you tell us, okay? That's all right. Thank you, buddy. Amen. Amen. All righty, take your Bibles tonight, if you would, please. I want to spend a few minutes tonight with you on a subject that God's had us on all week long. And tonight I pray that God will help us and use it for His glory. Now, I'm not here, and now listen to me, and listen to me well. I'm not here but for one great big reason, and that's for God to get glory and God to help. I believe tonight with all of my heart, God's trying to do something right here. I believed that Monday. I believed it before I ever came down here. I believe God wants to do something right here in this church. He's already doing something. He had already started before I got here, and God had already started moving. And what's happening now is because of the preaching and the praying and the faithfulness of the people of God. It didn't just start this week on Monday. This is something that God's been working. And God's just allowed me to become one of the people involved, one of the instruments, and one of the people to get blessed to be here. And I want to thank y'all for letting me come. And dear sister, thank you for the good singing you and your family's got. And dear brother, that's a beautiful song. And I appreciate the little adding you put in there. That's pretty good there. And my deacon, it was here the other night. That's one of his favorite songs. He sings at the church all the time for us. And we thank the Lord for that. And the good testimonies. And the altar come. People come into the altar. Don't be afraid to ever do that. It doesn't bother anybody. It don't bother me if you come right now. I'm not going to stop it. It ain't going to bother me. I just keep right on the rolling. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Listen, I'd just keep preaching if everybody came. I'd just keep right on the preaching. I reckon, you know. But hey, it'd be good. If you ever feel the nudge of God, don't let that bypass you. Don't let that get away from you. Don't let it leave you. When the sweet Holy Ghost of God touches you, be obedient. Obedient is better than sacrifice. Just be obedient. Just do what He says to do. I promise you. I promise you, if you'll do what He says to do, you'll be blessed beyond measure. Thank you for coming again tonight. Amen. Take your Bibles, if you would, please, and turn to Psalm 51. I'm going to stay on a trail God's had me on this week. God knows exactly why He's doing it. God's got a reason for everything He does. Now tonight I want to preach to you out of Psalm 51. Psalm 51, as everybody knows in this building, has heard, y'all heard it preached many times. This is not a new place for a man to preach. This is the Word of God. It's the story of David. It's the story of his confession after his sin. And you know, that's what brings about revival. As we said Monday, what really got the ball rolling with Nehemiah was that he didn't just see how bad everybody else was, but if you read real close, he said, I want you to forgive my sins. and my father's sins. The whole crowd of us is wicked. We've broke every law. We've been against your commandments, your judgments, everything. We've just been bad. And we're sorry for it. That's what it takes. He got all that taken care of before he went over and started working. David got himself in a mess. I'm going to preach an unusual thought to you tonight, but I hope it'll take effect in your heart. And I hope that God uses it in a very special way. That chair that I sat down front down there, or had put there, I want to call that tonight, now listen closely, I want to call that tonight God's Amen Corner. God's Amen Corner. Now that's not the title of my message, but that's what that chair represents. That chair represents all through history. It could be one or it could be thousands and millions of people that sat in that chair that are God's Amen Corner. Do you know what amen means? So be it. In other words, amen simply means, so be it, God. What you say, so be it. You remember somebody says this to me. I hear it quite frequently across the travels and the churches I'm in my own churches sometimes. People says, well, you know, I don't want to do anything in the flesh, and the preacher ain't going to tell me when to say amen. Or the preacher ain't going to tell me when to say hallelujah. Well, you got everything wrong right there, because you need to read the Bible. God told those priests, when you stand up, he said, you tell the people, when you read a law, tell the people to say amen. Amen. So the priests got up and they said, we're going to read the law. And when I cross one of them, read it and go on by it, everybody say amen. Whether you like it or not. Whether you believe it or not. Say, so be it, God. That's what it's all about. Boy, I'll tell you right now, God honors that. Because, see, God wants us to be obedient to Him. It's amazing the testimony the sister gave tonight. I about stopped her after she got started there on Abraham. Then she hit Esther. I started to stand up and say, that's enough. That's a good testimony. Because you're getting into my territory tonight. But I appreciate that, because that just confirms a lot of things. A heart just wanting to be submissive to God. This is God's Amen Corner. God's always had one. He started out with an Amen Corner in the book of Genesis. One of the very first, just of the few people that even lived on the earth. One of them's name was Abel. And Abel was God's Amen Corner. The Bible says that whenever it came time to do a sacrifice, his brother pitched a fit. Adam and Eve don't say too much. We don't even have any recording of them even interjecting into the situation. But God and Cain and Abel were in a worship service. And one of the greatest stands that somebody could ever take was when Abel stood up and said, I offer the blood. I offer this lamb in representation for my sin that I have committed, and looking toward not just my sin, but I'm looking toward the coming Lamb of God. Unbeknown to anybody else, that's what God had prophesied was going to take place. Abel was God's Amen Corner. I have no doubt that God said to the angels, I want you all to come over here just a minute, as he looked over the portals of glory. Now, I don't know how the portals of glory and how all that is. I'm just giving you something to look at in your mind. I believe God walked over to the edge of the portals of glory. And I believe he called all of heaven together. And he said, I want you to come here and look and listen to that man Abel. He's amening my blood. Hallelujah. God's always had an Amen Corner. Even as you go on down, Noah was in his amen corner. Faithful when nobody else believed but his family. Abraham was his amen corner. All through his life, but especially, dear lady, whenever he took that trip up that mountain with his boy. What a trial of a man's faith. It's recorded all through the Bible. That was his time. I believe God did again in history. Hundreds of years later, he called heaven together and said, come and look at a man that I told to take his own boy and sacrifice him. Come look at a man that bleeds me, trusts me. All you angels to look at him. He's in the amen corner. Then we could go all the way through. Y'all know that, just like she said, you could keep going. Joseph. Every time he turned around, he got thrown down. Every time he tried to get up, every time he tried to do something right, the devil or the crowds would knock him back down and throw him away. But he kept on standing. He'd just do what God told him to do. Joshua, she mentioned Daniel. My. The three Hebrew children, all the way through the Bible. Oh boy, God's always had an amen corner. Now when you got saved, you entered into a family, a people that's been redeemed by the blood. And when you got saved, we're going to say that was your chair right there. Let's just say that everybody in this room, and when you got saved, you sat in God's amen corner. It might have been at your home or your job. It might have been anywhere. But when God saved you, God said this to heaven. Look at this one here. I bought them as is. Y'all like that? As is. Y'all probably never heard that before. As is. When God bought me and bought you, he bought me as is. And God started working on me. God started working on you. And boy, can y'all remember the time that you got saved? Can you remember the time you didn't understand all that went on? But boy, you was excited about it. Man, I got excited about getting saved. And listen, I wanted to do things for God. Oh, and growing, and you falling, stumbling around, trying to do what you can do, not knowing anything, not having too many disciples around to help you. You're just trying to do. But there was one thing that's in the heart of every believer, and that's to do what God wants them to do. Are you listening? So when God started in our lives, we all got in that chair right there. And God would say, do this. Y'all remember? You remember when you got saved? Some of it, now I'm not going to go picking out the low end of the totem pole of where God found some of you. He found some of you in Sunday school rooms. He found some of you sitting in a church pew. He found some of you out yonder, way, way out yonder. Y'all hear me? But when he found you and loved you and saved you and redeemed you and bought you, you got in that chair. Boy, you remember when you started asking your blessing? You remember when you used to ask it at the job when everybody was around? You didn't care. You didn't give a rip. You didn't look around to see who was looking. You hear me? You didn't rub the side of your head till you got it prayed. Nope, you just bowed your head and prayed. Remember when you used to take your little Bible, your little Testament with you? Some of you's worked to where you was on your own construction or whatever. You carried your big Bible on the dash. And hey, every time you eat dinner, you'd go out there and you'd eat real fast and read that Bible. Remember when you pray? You remember whenever you, God, when you remember, all I'm saying is this, when God saved you, you got in the amen corner. Hallelujah. You had this attitude. Whatever it takes, God, whatever you want, that's what I want. So be it, God. Give this up. Amen, Lord. Start doing this, amen, Lord. Quit going over yonder, amen, Lord. Start going to church more faithful, amen, Lord. Start tithing, amen, Lord. Hey, I want to tickle your soul. Shout, amen, Lord. Amen. Take some of us a little bit more time to get that out. Let me say this real here about worship. If you'd ever learned to worship, man, your whole life would change. Y'all hear me? You hear me? Somebody says, well, I'll do it when I feel like it. You'll never do it. Never, ever. Ever. This flesh will make sure. I have people shake my hand. You do this. Preacher, that was so good today. I felt like running. I say, why didn't you? They just look at me. Boy, preacher, that was so good this morning. I was about ready just to stand up and just shout. And I said, why didn't you? Huh? You missed the blessing, friend, not me. Not me. I'm going to get up and shout. Sometimes I'll get up and shout when maybe some people might think it ain't a God. I'm just wanting to make sure. Amen? And he don't really care. If I'm worshiping him in sincerity and not in flesh or to be seen and heard, it blesses him anyway. Amen? I mean to tell you right now, learn to worship at Amen Corner. Y'all remember all those times? I'm just recalling in my life. I remember when I learned to tithe. I remember when I learned to give to missions by faith. I remember about being faithful to God. I remember God bringing my wife and myself and our little boy that we had at that time along the way and teaching us and training us. I remember the first time I ever shouted. I shouted on Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. My knee got shaking so bad, the whole pew was a-shaking, and it came from my knee. It went up through my thigh. It got into my belly. It come on up, and it reached my head and my hands and my arms, and I came out of that pew a-shouting. And I'd never shouted in my life, and I've not stopped. Hallelujah. And I still shake. Sometimes I was in a church in another meeting a little after that, and the Holy Ghost was just sweet. And man, I got excited about what was going on. And they were singing some kind of song. And man, it was touching me, and my knees started going. That's the way it kind of starts, you know what I'm saying? And boy, I was about ready. It was done moving up. It was a moving up, you know, it was a moving up. And about that time I was getting ready to come out of that pew, my wife said, would you quit shaking? And I said, you just kill my shout. We were just young. I just looked at her and said, you just kill my shout. She said, well, you were shaking the whole pew. I'm right there in the church. Y'all with me? Hey, that's the way it is, ain't it? Glory to God. Hallelujah. God said, come on, Rachel, I want to show y'all something. Look at that boy down there. He loves me. And he's not ashamed. Are you with me? Now here's what I want to talk to you about tonight I say this very honestly for a few minutes. In Psalm 51, this is the confession of David. In the book of Acts, in chapter 13, in verse 22, God says this, and I'm not going to quote the whole verse, but he says this. He looked for a man that was after his own heart. Now he had Saul, they picked Saul, you know, they chose Saul. God wasn't in that one iota, but they chose him. Head and the shoulders above everybody, a killing machine, a fighter, a warrior. That's what they were looking at. But God didn't really want him. He took him because the people chose him. And his spirit was put on him. Well, he fouled out. And Samuel says, well, we got to get us a nut, and I reckon, Lord. And God says, I'm telling you this time, I'm in control. I'm taking over. I'm looking for a man that's after mine own heart. And I know where he is. He's a shepherd. And if he can take care of the sheep out there on that pasture, He can take care of my people, the sheep of Israel. He's got the heart of a shepherd, not a warrior. Not that he won't fight you. He will. David was a great warrior. But you know what he was at his heart? You know what David was at his heart? David was a shepherd. Boy, he said, Samuel, I'm sending you to Jesse's house. He told him who he was, where he lived. Like we was talking about, God knows everything, don't he? And there he said, now I want you to take something, a calf or a sacrifice, and you go into that town, because Samuel was afraid Saul would find out he was doing something. He said, you tell him you're going to sacrifice at David's house. Samuel took something, an animal, and they went to David's house. And he said to Jesse, I'll talk to you boys. And God said, I'll show you which one it is. And y'all know the story. All the boys came up before God. And Samuel stood there and said, that's got to be him. Boy, he's a big one. And nothing came in. God said, no, but nothing came in. Man, he came in. He was rough looking. You know what I'm saying? Had a 25-inch knife on his side. He walked through that door. Man, his muscles was big. Samuel said, this must be him. Boy, he looks like he's ready. He's ready to go. And God said, no, that's not him. And all the kids went before Samuel. Then finally Samuel said, Jesse, is this all your boys? He said, no, I got one more, the baby. Well, where is he? He's out there in the pasture keeping the sheep. He said, call that boy. So one of them went out and hollered and whistled and screamed and went down through the field and came back with David. And when David walked through the door, the Bible says that God said to Samuel, that's him. That's him. He was a young man, ready, and he was just full of youth. And God said, that's the man I'm wanting. And the Bible says that Samuel told David to get on his knees, and he took out that oil and he opened the lid off of it and he began to pour it on his head, and everybody got quiet. David got quiet. Nobody knew what to really do, but they knew what Samuel was doing. The prophet of God was anointing David. And you say, well, why did you go through that whole story? Because I want you to hear what God said. God said to all of heaven, come over to the sides. Now back in those days, now you got to understand, in the Old Testament days, a lot of times God had only one man at a time that was his amen corner. Yeah. It was one man that God had his anointing on, and one man that God used in a mighty way. And he said to the angels, come around and look. I want you to see my man, David. And boy, all the angels in heaven begin to look. And Samuel anointed him. And after Samuel anointed David, David got up. The oil was still all over him. Everybody talked. They ate some food. Coming evening time, Samuel left. And there's a very interesting command getting ready to happen. And the God of heaven was telling the angels, shh, be real quiet, I want you to hear this. And I want to show you what kind of man I got. And Jesse looked at David and said to him these words, get back out yonder with the sheep. Now just watch. God told the angels, shh. He didn't tell him twice. Just David done had him a little rag, and he was wiping his eyes and wiping, trying to get, you know, because he done had oil pour all over him. And you know what David said to his daddy when he said, going back out there and keep those sheep, boy? He said, amen, daddy. Amen. So be it. So be it. He didn't look at his daddy and say, hey, before anybody moves, do y'all not know what just happened? Do y'all not know what the man of God just did? Do you not know who I am? Did y'all not see me get anointed? I am anointed. And you want me to go keep sheep? I ought to be giving commands around here. But David didn't say that. David said, so be it. And he went on out in the field. And every time you find David, until God moves him up the road a little bit, he's in the field keeping sheep. Even his brother said when he went to the war ground, go home and keep your sheep, shepherd boy. But David had what all of us had when we got saved. He had that want to please God spirit. Do y'all remember? Want to please God. Want to please God. We'll do anything to please God. I used to say, if the preacher said, stand on your head and count to 100, it'll make you more spiritual, I'd have did it. Are you with me? Because I wanted to do everything God told me to do. Now let me get on with this message so it'll help you tonight. David said amen when he was told to go keep the sheep. He said amen whenever Jesse told him to go check on his brothers. He said, I'll do it. He said amen whenever God said, kill the giant. You know what David said? He said amen. Hallelujah. There was a time when David would say amen to anything God said. In Acts it says this, he'll do whatever I tell him to do. That's what it says. Just like you and me. With your hand lifted up, just to give him acknowledgement that you know what I'm saying. How many of y'all understand and know what I mean when you got saved? Let's lift your hand. That you was willing to do anything for God. You was willing to do anything for God. Oh my. Now some of you might have been a little younger, and it might have been till you got a few years, but when you got your heart was right with God, you wanted to do anything. That's why these young people, they might get saved at 9, 12, 10, 11, 13, but you give them just a little time, just a little time. Sometimes there's some special ones when they're 10 and 12 and 11, 13 years old. They get a touch on them. But on the average, most of them got to get a little maturity in them. They got to get a little bit of preaching in them and a little bit of surrounding and worship in them and a little bit of the Holy Ghost around them. But one day, they seem like when they get a little bit off, 15, 16, and God got them in a good place, God will touch them. And they'll say, I want to do anything God wants. Have you ever seen young people do this? And young people are young and they need a lot of help and encouragement when they do that. David did everything God told him to do. One day, David stayed home from fighting. David stayed home from doing what he was supposed to be doing. He got lax. He kind of pulled away from doing what God had called him as a king to do, and that was to bring glory to his name, even in wars. And David stayed home. Y'all know the story. And the Bible says as David stayed home, he's laying on his bed. Now, I don't know, and I'm not here to start elaborating on how many times he looked, when he looked. All I'm going to tell you is what the Scripture says. The Scripture says that David got up off of his bed. You listening to what I'm... Are y'all listening to me? Because you see, in some of our lives, this has happened. David sat in his chair. He was God's amen man. He was in the corner. He did everything God wanted him to do. God said, do this. David said, amen, so be it, God. And God would even call heaven over. Watch my man. Listen to him. Watch him bring glory to me. Just like he did to y'all. When you prayed at the place, at your job, or you gave a testimony at the church, or you started living right, and the community began to see a change. Sinners begin to notice that something has happened to you. That's in every one of our lives. If you're saved, that happened in your life. And there was a time when you were saved that you were willing to do anything God wanted you to do. That's the truth now. Anything God said, you'd say amen to it. Well, here he is. He's been so obedient to God. He's killed bears, lions, giants, tens of thousands. He has played and sang more songs on the balcony of the king's house, and people would listen as David would sing the Psalms, and they would say, all is well. Hallelujah. And David got up off of his bed, son. And as he began to walk around in his room, he started over toward a door. And as he started toward that door, ma'am, God said, don't go near that door, David. Yeah. Now, what's David always done? Amen, God. David probably walked away from that door and scratched his head and probably said, wow, what's going on? David kind of walked back toward the edge of the room again, toward the door. And as he got close to that door, the Holy One of Heaven said, David, do not open that door. And David, I don't know how many times, two or three times. Have y'all not ever done this? Say with me, yeah, amen. Have y'all not ever been to the place where God said, don't do that, don't look at that, don't go there, don't do that, don't do that. And you'd walk off and you'd go, But you'd start. God say, no, 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 don't do that. That's what he was doing to David. And after three or four times, David kept getting closer to that door. And let me tell you something. The closer you get to the fruit, you better be careful. Are y'all with me? Are y'all listening to me? He went over to that door, and he probably put his hand on it. And the Holy Ghost said, don't open that door, David. I don't have to give you a reason. I'm telling you, don't open that door. God has probably said in heaven, and as all heaven looked over the banisters of heaven, the man that God had been showing off to all the angels was now facing one of the greatest temptations in his whole life. And all it was a door. Are you listening? It wasn't anything big, Brother Cook. Preacher, it wasn't anything terrible, terrible, bad. But little did David know that beyond that door was going to bring so many sorrows and swords in his life. He didn't even know what was beyond that door. Just like you. It was that little thing God said, don't mess with it. And some of you's messed with it. And it didn't turn out to be a little something. So here's what David did, singer. Daniel, I believe your name is. This is what happened. Y'all listening? Are y'all with me? David walked over here. You got to realize God's watching. God is telling the angels, shh, be quiet. Now, God already knew. Y'all know God knows everything, but I'm just trying to get y'all in on the picture. And God whispers to David again, and he says to David, don't open that door, David. Don't open it. And we hear something that is still being heard through thousands of years. Did y'all hear that? That was when the doorknob turned. And then we hear a squeak. David thought, it's not that bad. I'm not dead. I'm still all here. Maybe I just misheard God. God said, David. And David had already stepped into another world. And he walked out through that door. And the Bible says that when David went out on the porch, he looked around as he had done 1,000 times. But this particular time, on a rooftop, was a woman of beauty taking a bath. And the Bible says that David looked at that woman. I believe at this time God's probably told all the angels, you're going back off, going back. And God probably stood there all alone and watched his man surveying the rooftop and looking at that naked lady. Now, how far it went, how many times, again, I don't know. But here's what the Bible does say, that he looked long enough to where he sent for her. Are y'all with me right now? And had her to come over to his house. Are y'all staying with me now? All it was a door. All it was a door. Just a door! It's just a little sin. It's nothing. It's not really that bad touching a door. But some of you, that's where it happened. And here's what the Bible says. That David sent for her. She came. They had many times together. And David and her made a baby. For God will catch you. That's where we are in revival. Preacher, if you ever got out of that seat, I'm going to confess to you. I've gotten out of that seat many times. In my years of serving God, I've not always sat in this chair. I would have loved to say to y'all tonight, I have never left this amen chair. I have always been obedient. I have always said amen, so be it, God. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. I would love to tell you tonight that I've done that my whole life, but I haven't. There's been times that God had to say to the angel, back off. Oh, I don't want you to see what he's getting ready to do. Are y'all with me? I have learned, though, to ask forgiveness, and God's mercy and grace will forgive you. And I've gotten back in that chair because that's where my heart's in this chair. My heart's to be in this chair. My soul's to be in this chair. I am not happy, comfortable, satisfied anywhere but in that chair. And when sin is finished with me, I find God somewhere. And I find those verses where he says, I know the flesh There's no reason for them to be disobedient, but I know their flesh. And the three devils that's around them, the flesh and the world and the devil. If it wasn't for his mercy, you know what Paul said? There go I, except it be for the grace of God. If it wasn't for the grace of God, I wouldn't be here right now. The first time I found out, I wouldn't have gotten back. I'd have been wandering around somewhere out yonder, bringing a disgrace to myself, to God. Little did David know what was on the other side of that door. Some of us didn't know what it was that we were getting into when we stepped into that, what we thought was nothing. Just a door. And without confessing or going in anything that you don't need to know. I am still paying a price for a few things. Not a lot, but a couple things that I went through a door on. And I'll pay for them until I die. Not necessarily pay for them, but I'll reap from them. Are y'all listening to this preacher? I'm trying to be honest with you. I'm trying to get you to quit looking at this facade that we've got ourselves thinking, we're so good. We've never done anything wrong. But we have. That's why Nehemiah said, God, don't just forgive everybody, but forgive me. It's not my brother, it's not my sister, oh Lord, but it's me that needs prayer. What a different church we'd have if that's the attitude of our people. This is what revival is. Revival's bringing this on. Are y'all with me? Here tonight, everybody wants to be in this chair. But I wonder how many people in here tonight is in this chair. I wonder how many people tonight, no matter how long, months, weeks, years, I wonder how many people in this place started out in that amen corner. Oh, you wanted to please him. And really now you want to, but you don't know how to get back to that place. And you've sown some things. You went through some doors that you had no earthly idea what was on the other side of those doors. You had no idea. The first person that ever put a needle in their arm never knew the world it was going to open to them. The first drink of liquor that some young boy or young lady took, just a drink of liquor, just a beer. Are y'all listening to me? Just a cigarette, just a marijuana. Just a pornography picture that somebody had. Just one pornography picture. Not all that pornography bad. But they don't, hey, never did they dream that looking at that one picture was going to open up a whole world more wicked than they could ever handle. A Christian, not a sinner, not a lost person. A believer. And you got out of that chair and you don't know how to get back to it. That's why we're here. That's what God's been saying to you. Come home. Come home. Come home. Prodigal son, the fathers are waiting. Don't wait till you go to the hog pen. Don't wait till you smell and stink like a hog. You can come home now. And get back in the chair. This is the title of the message. This is the title. What did it cost David to lose his amen? cost you something, buddy. Psalm 51 is telling everything that it cost him. Are y'all with me? You remember whenever you had a desire and a zeal to win people to Christ? You had a desire and a zeal to just worship God. You couldn't wait to get to church. You didn't care if we used to make the janitor, he'd flick the lights. We'd say, oh, Mr. Warren, he's old. He's wanting to go home. But there's about 15 or 20 or 30 of us in there that was fired up for God, man. We'd sit in the pews. We'd talk. Our kids would run around like they do in here. Didn't bother us. It bothers me now, but it didn't bother us then. Hey, we'd just talk, praise God, talk about Jesus, talk about winning somebody, talk about praying. We'd break down and pray. Pray for John, God. Sam's a witness into John. Hallelujah. Oh, Mr. Warren, he about this tall. After about 20 minutes of that, he's still going. And we'd all turn around and look, and he'd just stand there and go. You know what he was doing? He was flicking the lights and telling us it's time we go home. Well, we had a little bit of courtesy about us. So in about another 10 or 20 minutes, we'd leave. We had to wander out and tell everybody, poor old Mr. Warren, bless his heart. He did that for several years. We were hungry. I didn't give a rip what was on television. I didn't care. We all we said was, let's just have some. Then when we was leaving, somebody would say, hey, I meet you at Bojangles. I'll go to Hardee's. Y'all come to Hardee's? What about over here at McDonald's? Yeah, let's all go. Hallelujah. Hungry. But in that crowd of people, of good people, good young men and good young women. And I promise you, by the grace of God, I'm not no good, no better, no way. But I have seen through the years some of those good people opened a door. Now they got different husbands, different wives. Some of them are in prison. Y'all hear me? Well, I'm going to hurry, baby. Are y'all with me right now? And I want y'all to listen tonight. I ask God, I say, God, I got this I can do. I can think on this. And God says, no. Stay right where you've been. Stay right where you've been. Because I still got one. That used to be one of my good amen people. They've got all of the garb on them right now, but their heart is far from me. But they used to be one of the best obedient ameners I've had. But they opened a door one day, and they got lost outside in it. And they don't know how to get back. But you just keep preaching. Because my Holy Ghost is trying to show them the way. Just tell them that I love them. And I want them to come home. Are y'all listening? Prodigal, come home. I'll do everything I promised. Just come home. Amen. Can you believe that that father actually ran to him? That Oriental people, that customer that day, the father never did that. No way, buddy. But that picture of our father, and there's something else I'm not going to preach about it right now. I'm going to mention it, dear sir. He might have hunted you up when you was lost. But he don't hunt you up when you walk away from him. Now, some people don't like that. They don't agree with that. It's up to whatever you want to believe. But I read a lot in there. God will woo you. He'll look for you. But he'll use the chastening of his hand to get your attention. But I will tell you what he will always do. He'll always be looking. Are you listening to me? And isn't it amazing that when that one day out of nowhere, out of how long the boy was gone, but one day here came a boy down a driveway. And it must have been a long driveway because the daddy saw him and ran out after him and hugged him and kissed him. What did it cost him to lose his amen? And I'm not going to preach it. I've not even got to the message, but I'm just trying to be obedient to God. I'm just going to name them. He lost his right spirit that he had when he got out of that chair. When he opened that door and the acts of sin entered into his life. David was a very godly man. Godly man. Godly. Patient, had wisdom. You say, how do you know he had a bad spirit, preacher? In one episode of his life when Nathan went to preach to him. And Nathan gave him the story. Are y'all listening to me now? Listen. And Nathan told him about a man taking a little lamb and eating that lamb when he had a whole flock of them. Did you know that David did not even consider his own self? He didn't even see. He's so messed up, he can't even see that. But I tell you what he did produce was a bad spirit. Because you know what he said? Here's what he said. After Nathan told him that, David stood up and said, whoever he is, he'll die. Quick judgment. And little did he know that he just pronounced his own judgment. And Nathan said, thou art the man. And that's when this psalm came into effect. He lost his right spirit. He lost his soul winning spirit. He lost his singing spirit. He lost his shouting spirit. He lost his serving spirit. I could preach all five or six of those points. When he went through that door, they all become destitute in his life. You know why some of you don't sing like you used to sing? Because you hadn't got right with God. You know why some of you don't soul win anymore or tell people about Jesus? It's not the times. It's your heart. Somewhere you opened a door that you should have never opened. Are y'all listening to what I'm telling you? Do you know why you don't worship and shout? You just sit there. They can shout all over you and amen. You know what you do? You just sit there. You know why it doesn't affect you so much? It's because, see, somewhere in your life you opened a door and you don't know how to get back. David didn't know how to get back. God had to send the preacher to tell him. He lost a baby over it. And then we hear this cry throughout the pages of the rest of David's life. Absalom, oh Absalom, oh Absalom, would to God it was me that was dead. Because Nathan said, you won't die, David, but the sword will never leave your house. Why is your sister not coming around anymore? Her brother raped her. Are y'all with me? Do we need revival? Do we need to stop the hand of God's judgment now, right now? We do. How do we stop the hand of God? We fall on our face and say, it's me, God. It's me, I need help. And I want to come back to the chair. And I want to be an amener for your glory. I want to ask Brother Daniel if it's okay to come sing that song. Sister, you play. I want you to stand to your feet. Please listen to me tonight. Please listen. Please listen to me tonight. There's not one living soul in this world that's never fallen or stumbled or gotten themselves ensnared in a mess. But you don't have to stay there. You don't have to stay there. You don't have to pretend and play church. You don't have to be always whipped. God can forgive you and never again, never bring it up. Never. God said, just keep doing what you're doing, preacher. Because my Holy Ghost, when you don't even know, I was dealing with them before you ever came around. I've been dealing with them at night when they leave these meetings and go home, and when the preacher preaches, I've been dealing with them. Now this little meeting group we got together is pulling the line a little tighter. They don't have 4 or 5 days to think about it. It's night after night. They might be somebody in this building tonight that got out of that chair, but you want to get back in it. How do I get in it, preacher? How do I get in it? John said, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, a good starting place tonight is right here around this chair. Keep in your mind this picture. God's saying to heaven, come here, angels, come here. I want you to watch so-and-so. 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 They are about ready to come back and get in the chair. Just be real quiet and watch. And then that sweet, holy comforter of God is pulling and tugging at your heart right now. I believe so much in what I preach. That I believe so much in it that I believe right now God is doing the greatest work in this world besides saving a sinner is bringing home one of his prodigals. I don't know who it is. And like I said, you can cover it up with all kind of stuff. But God knows our heart. Are you with me? God knows our heart. Brother, you sing, preacher, you come. And as he sings this song, please tonight, when the Holy Ghost says, thou art the man, you fought it each night. There might be a lost person here that God said, I love you and I want to save you. Please come. And you throw in every excuse you can. There's no excuse. And what's it worth going to hell over some excuse? Lost, you need to get saved. I'm glad that boy got saved. Brother Daniel, you sing. And I'm going to trust our God in heaven that people
like
will come
the
to this
prodigal son.
Why don't you come right now?
Wandered in darkness. Yeah. And I traded my life for a worldly good time. No peace in my heart I ever could find. And I'd gotten so tired of eating after the swine. So I believe I'll go home.
Why don't you
Yes, he can. Yes, look what you've already sacrificed.
I can see the Father.
I'm just a messenger. I'm just telling you, you can end it
tonight.
Lord, I'm willing. The devil don't have to whip you any longer, keep you down. You can come to God and say, it's me, God, and I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And he'll do it like that right there.
Like the prodigal son, I wandered from Jesus, but the shepherd he saw.
Kids, I want you young people to know something tonight. Don't let the devil lie to you. Please don't. You might have done something, looked at something. You might have experimented and in an area that nobody, you would want nobody to know about it. And you hate you did it. But the devil has beat you to death.
To find his lost sheep that was
hungry. You don't have to let him do that. You can come tonight. Bring it to God, and you can get on
so
your face and ask God.
I'll go home and eat with the Father. His table is spread.
Somebody's opened that door. And somewhere in your, sometime in your life. And listen, it's not that you're not seeing and got it.
I can see the Father.
You open the door.
Coming down to greet me, Lord, I'm willing to be a servant for Thee.
Y'all, just it's still, the Lord's still working.